Support for Talking Art on WVIK comes from the people at Quad City Bank and Trust, helping the local community with their banking and financial needs for more than 20 years. Information is at qcbt.com. Support also comes from the estate of Margaret Skinner, a longtime friend of WVIK and lover of the arts.
This is Carolyn Martin, and I'm talking art today with Aaron Randolph, the artistic director of the QC Theater Workshop, and also with Daniel Raridan-Hale, theater chair and associate professor at St. Ambrose University, about their upcoming production, The Little Prince. Welcome, Aaron and Dan.
Thank you, Carolyn.
It's nice to be here.
Now, The Little Prince opens this weekend, and the two of you had pivotal roles in bringing this to our community. The play is based on the beloved French novella by Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, but Aaron, you adapted and completely rewrote it for this production. What compelled you to do that, and how does this play differ from the original story?
Well, I've always loved this book, and it's such a wonderful story because it's essentially a piece of philosophy masked as a children's fairy tale. And so I think it has wonderful depth, but it's also really imaginative and very engaging. And I always thought reading it that it would just make a really wonderful play. And so when I sat down to write it, originally I just took the book pretty much as it was and made it into a play. And then we've been reorganizing and restructuring it to make it more theatrically engaging. And also, one of the big challenges was the language, because it's an older book. It was written, you know, in the 1940s, and it was also translated from French. And so the language is kind of antiquated. And so we've really been updating it and finding a lot of the humor in it and just making it more accessible to a modern audience.
Mm-hmm. And remind us, if you can, of the storyline behind The Little Prince.
Basically, the story is a guy crash lands in the desert. In his plane. And while he's in the middle of the desert, this little boy approaches him and claims that he's from outer space. He's from another planet, and he's traveling around meeting people who live on other worlds. And the play kind of follows their relationship and the boy recounting his travels to all these different places he's visited.
Mm-hmm. And there are some very adult themes. You'd mentioned that it's somewhat disguised as a children's book, but there are these themes throughout it of loneliness and love, loss, mm-hmm. Important messages for all of us. So this is an all-ages show.
Yeah. I think it'll be very engaging for children because it has a lot of humor. It's very visually dynamic. But the depth of the story and the kind of life lessons it touches on, I think, will really be meaningful to adults. And I think the message of it, of finding the beauty in day-to-day life and not just focusing on the end goals, but actually enjoying the journey, is something that is really simple to say, but it comes through in a very profound way through the story.
Mm-hmm. At one point in the book, the little prince says to the narrator that in one planet that he visited, all the adults are traveling by train. They're going a million miles an hour, and only the children are looking out the window mm-hmm. at what's around them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of a good summary for me about kind of what I took away from rereading this very classic book. Mm-hmm. Dan, you designed all the puppets and masks used in the production, and I understand that you yourself will be performing the role of the little prince.
Yeah.
How did you learn to do this?
So Aaron Hook and I have worked together on a couple of different projects at St. Ambrose, making puppets for Alice in Wonderland. We did a production 8 years ago, maybe. And then I did some masks for a Commedia production and also for The Tempest recently. And just kind of learned by doing. Did my own research and figured out how to do it, and through trial and error made the masks and the puppets that we needed to make for our shows at Ambrose. So Aaron Hook, who's the technical director at St. Ambrose, he's helping to design the puppets, the snake and the rose and the fox. The little prince, though, I'm constructing pretty much through trial and error in my basement, and it's just about done.
The snake, the rose, and the little fox are important characters in the in the book. And what materials did you use to make the puppets and the masks?
So the masks are neoprene masks. So I sculpt out of clay what the mask will look like, and then do a plaster cast of that, and then pour neoprene, which is a rubberized latex. But then on top of that, we're putting words from the chapters of each character in tissue paper over their faces, and then doing a watercolor with acrylic paints. But it has a watercolor look to it, so it should look like the masks are made out of the pages of the book and done in a similar painting style to the illustrations in the book. Mm-hmm. So that's how the masks are made, or with neoprene. The puppets are a combination of wood and springs and fabric, blood, sweat, and tears.
and, probably the most important ingredient.
Yeah, yeah. But for every mechanism that works, we've tried 10 times on things that didn't work. So it's been a long process creating these puppets.
But how did you learn to do that? Because you're the theater chair at St. Ambrose. Do you have an artistic background as well?
Yeah, I actually graduated from St. Ambrose University and took a lot of art classes while I was there with Kristen Quinn and Les Bell and a bunch of other great people. So so I like to paint. I like to sculpt. I've taken 3D design. But I've always enjoyed tinkering and building and creating. So just trial and error.
Erin, how did you begin to envision puppets in this work? When did you decide that would be a great addition?
Well, Dan and I had talked about working on this play probably like a year and a half ago, something like that.
Yeah.
Just kind of started kicking the idea around. And I had worked with Dan on some of his previous productions. Like, I had written the music for his production of Alice in Wonderland that he did that was full of puppets. And so I was familiar with his work there. And I just felt like this story really lent itself to that sort of fantastical element of using puppetry, because it's... You know, the only real person in this story is the aviator who crashes in the desert, and all these other things are...
And he's the narrator of the book.
Right, right. Yep, the narrator. And so all these other elements are either memories or they're stories that the little prince is telling. And so I thought that that would be a great way to differentiate between the real world and the kind of fantasy world of the story.
Mm-hmm. So the puppet really transforms the little prince in a way.
Yeah.
It makes his character even a little more magical.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And on a functional level, one of the things, because we had talked about, well, should we get a child actor to play the little prince, or how are we going to deal with that? And the decision we came to was the little prince is such the emotional core of the play. Trying to find a six-year-old kid who could really carry an hour-long show and show the emotional range and depth just on a functional level would be really challenging. And so we thought Dan playing that through a puppet would both bring out the fantasy element of the story and also allow a really seasoned, talented actor to play the range of emotions that that character needed to display.
That's really perfect, Dan, because not only did you create the puppets and the masks, but you are the little prince.
Yeah, I'm excited to play it.
Mm-hmm. There's the line in the book where the fox gives the little prince a secret that one sees clearly only with the heart. Mm-hmm. And that is something that's so true, I think, of children. Some adults maintain that ability, but as we grow older, we trust our eyes more. We trust what we can see is real, and we're less able to believe in magic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and it's about the difference between being so focused on the functional instead of the beauty in our lives. You know, children are so, like you talked about with looking out the windows of the train, adults are so focused on the getting someplace or achieving something or buying something, and that's where we find our joy is from these goalposts that we set, instead of embracing the beauty that's around us all the time. A big plot point in the story is the little prince keeps trying to get the aviator to watch the sunset with him, and he's always too busy, doesn't have time for that right now, and it kind of begs the question of, well, if you don't have the time to enjoy your life and appreciate the beauty around you and connect with the people in your life, then what's the point of all this work we're doing and being so busy?
And the number of sunsets you have in your life are finite. And I think the impermanence is part of it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's just one more example of why this is so appealing to people. I had read that it's one of the most translated books in the entire world. It's been translated into over 300 different languages and dialects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is the most published French language book ever. And that speaks highly of it because there's a lot of wonderful pieces of French literature. But I think this touches people on a very unique level because it speaks to everyone. It's something that's universal.
Yeah. When was The Little Prince originally written? And what can you tell us about the author, Antoine de Saint-Exupéry?
It was published in 1943, and he was a pilot. And the book is somewhat autobiographical. He crash landed in the Sahara Desert and kind of had an existential crisis while he was there.
The author in real life.
Yeah, the author in real life. And so he took kind of what he gained from that time in the desert by himself, trying to figure out if he was going to make it out alive. It affected the rest of his life, and he turned that revelation into this children's book. And unfortunately, right the year after he wrote it, he ended up crashing his plane again and passed away that time. And I've joked he's a better writer than a pilot, unfortunately. But but I'm so glad he left us this story because it really is just a wonderful piece of literature.
Mm-hmm. So the author and the little prince really have similar fates. And we don't know what happens to the little prince at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to be a spoiler for those people who are going to go see it. But suffice it to say that there is a lot of mystery and uncertainty about what happens to the little prince, as with the author himself. And this was written against the backdrop of World War II.
Right. Yeah. And I think a lot of the artists, whether it was authors or musicians or painters, there was such a sense of like, you know, this is the end of the world. You know, I mean, people didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't know that World War II would work out the way it did. And so I think there was really such a deep sense of self-reflection and the meaning of life imbued in so much of the artwork of that time. And this is definitely a seminal work examining kind of the purpose and nature of existence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're really beautiful, beautiful messages. And he really gives us in a very subtle way an argument against pursuing materialism and things like that and living your life more simply and memorably and living really in the moment. The book The Little Prince is very, you know, is entrancing for many reasons, primarily because of the storyline, but also the illustrations in the book were original watercolors done by the artist himself. And you have had an illustrator working with you on this project?
Yeah, Joseph Lappi at St. Ambrose University. He's the chair of the art department, and he's in the book arts program and does printing, but also watercolors as well. So he was doing some original artwork for us that will eventually be on our flyers and our posters to promote the show.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That really ties it all together,
yeah.
You know, in a way. And, you know, when you have Aaron, you doing the writing, and Dan making the puppets and the illustrations as well, that's really a complete show.
Yeah, it's all handcrafted by local artists, the whole thing.
Yeah, and there's also original music being written for it as well. I mean, Aaron Randolph writes music, and we're also commissioning a few other musicians to compose various pieces throughout.
Right here in the Quad Cities, is there any hope that this could travel at some point?
Yeah, actually, we're working with some theaters to try and get some travel dates over the summer. So we've got a couple that are pretty close to being locked in, but nothing we can announce quite yet.
So both of you are quite experienced in your craft. Dan, this is not the first production you've created masks and puppets for, because I understand, and you mentioned earlier that you made the mask for The Tempest. Mm-hmm. So what did you learn from your experience with that show? And are you becoming a little bit easier with time, or are there still immense challenges with this?
Yeah, well, every process is a little bit different, and I kind of see each show as its own learning experience. So there are processes that were helpful in The Tempest that aren't as helpful here, but there are some that carry over. As far as the puppets go, this is the first time that I'm making articulated arms that one person can operate. The puppets I've built for Alice in Wonderland were Boon Rakub style, so three performers would control the arms, the legs, the head, and the torso. But I'm trying to create a puppet that acts like a Boon Rakub puppet that one performer can control. So rather than three people controlling the arms and the feet and the head, it's just going to be me. So I'm building little skis that will attach the feet to my feet, and each arm has its own set of springs and cables so that I can bend its wrists and its elbows, and its head can be controlled with just my thumb. But it's unique to this production because I haven't had to build something like that for The Tempest or Comedia or Alice in Wonderland.
And you have a little bit more time to do this now because I understand you're on sabbatical from St. Ambrose.
Yes. This semester I'm on sabbatical, so I have plenty of time when I'm not chasing after my own four kids. but I have more time than I would if I was teaching a full load.
Mm-hmm. And how lovely that universities really offer that, because it gives creative people, intellectual people, that time to pursue their interests that really would be hard to carve out that time, I'm imagining, between all your other duties as an administrator and teaching students.
Oh, absolutely. It is. I'm lucky to have this opportunity.
It seems to me that puppetry is being used more frequently now. I read that there is a production in Chicago, Pinocchio, that's using puppets, and there's currently a show on Broadway as well.
Yeah. The House Theater is doing Pinocchio right now, and there was recently a puppetry festival in Chicago, January or February. So it's definitely an art form on its own, but I think more and more theaters are starting to embrace the theatrical, because it is different from movies.
Yeah, I think theater right now is embracing more of the uniquely theatrical aspects of theater. It's embracing that, I think, in part as a way to differentiate itself from film and Netflix and television. And I think that's great, because it's something you can't do as effectively on film. You know, War Horse is a great example. You can make a great film out of it, but War Horse on stage is something completely unique to behold because of the giant puppet. It's spectacle. It's wonderful.
Its own magical experience. And if you want hyper-realism, then watch a movie, because that's what you can get with movies. But if you want a theatrical experience, a communal experience between live actors and audience members, then come see the theater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm sure The Little Prince will transport us in that way. You know, there is something so lovely about sitting in a small enclosed space with other people watching the same thing and and being faced with the same deep themes that this production brings out.
Absolutely.
And Aaron, you've written other plays as well, besides this current adaptation. What were those?
Well, I've written, now this will be the third production I've done for the workshop. I wrote A Green River, which we did in our first season and which will be performed again this summer at the Mississippi Bend Players. And then I also wrote a play called Broken. Both of those plays were pretty heavy subjects. One was about post-traumatic stress disorder. The other one was about human trafficking. So I thought maybe we'd lighten it up a little bit and do a children's show. And this show definitely, I mean, it still has a lot of heart and depth, but it's a much funnier and lighter show overall. But I've also written a number of children's pieces for Davenport Junior Theater and St. Ambrose. And so this is kind of an interesting melding of those two worlds, where I get to write something that's fun and light and appropriate for all ages, but also I think has a lot of the same depth and theatricality of the other plays that I've done for the workshop.
Mm-hmm. How has working in theater inspired you to write?
I've done theater since I was in high school, and I just love the art form. I love the style of storytelling. I don't think I would enjoy writing books or poetry as much as I do theater, because I love the collaborative nature of it. I love the fact that I make something and then I give it to somebody else and they then build off of that and make something even greater. Like with Dan, I write the lines, but I give it to him and then he finds ways to say them that I couldn't have ever imagined myself. And so I love the collaboration of the art form.
Mm-hmm. So you've mentioned Aaron Hook, and I know he was also integral to the performances that you're having. But I'm sure many other people are involved. So can you tell us a little bit about your cast and crew?
Sure. So Aaron Hook, as you mentioned, is our scenic and lighting designer. Amelia Fisher is another cast member. She's also an Ambrose grad, coincidentally.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And she works at Comedy Sports, and you might have seen her in shows at the Music Guild or at the Spotlight Theater recently. So she does theater in the area as well. And she'll be playing a lot of the other characters in the show. And then Zach Lawson is our stage manager. So he'll make sure the lights get up and down and the sound starts when it's supposed to and everything is running smoothly for the production.
All those important things. And that behind the scenes work is always so important. Something that we forget as a viewer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just see the people on the stage, but really it's the behind the scenes workers that create the atmosphere that we want.
Right.
Yeah, there's a lot of hours that go into lighting a show or building the scenery or just running the show and making sure the stage is swept and ready to go when it's time to go. There's so much behind the scenes that we don't even see.
Well, I was wondering, how did you all connect? I know you're both graduates of St. Ambrose, so good for that university.
Yeah.
But how did you find each other and how did you start working on these projects?
Well, we actually were in a few plays together while we were students. We overlapped by a couple of years. I think we were both in the band for a period of time.
Yeah, we both played trumpet.
Yeah. Yep. So, we knew each other in college. And then out of college at St. Ambrose, we've brought Aaron back to write original music for some of our productions. We've also commissioned him to write plays for us. I think The Plagiarists and Dakota Jones and The Search for Atlantis.
Yeah.
So we've had a working relationship as well, bringing him in as a guest artist so that he can work with our next generation of students.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really proud of the theatrical community in the Quad Cities. It's quite robust now at this time. And The Little Prince is being performed at the QC Theater Workshop. Where is that located?
We are located at 1730 Wilkes, which is just a block off of Five Points in Davenport, just down Locust Street from the Five Points intersection.
Mm-hmm. And how can someone make a reservation? Because I understand you don't sell tickets in the traditional form.
Yeah, we're a little weird. We do pay what it's worth pricing, and we'll be doing that for this show as well. So people can go to our website, which is qctheaterworkshop.org. It's theater with an R-E instead of E-R. And they can make reservations right on our website. And the way it works is you come see the show, and then you pay on your way out the door whatever you thought that was worth. So it's kind of a donation system.
Mm-hmm. And how many seasons now has a theater been operating?
This is our 7th season. And we're working on putting together our show list for our 8th season, but we're very excited about where we're at as an organization.
Mm-hmm. Productions like this are very expensive and are usually not covered by the cost of admission, and in your case, by the donations. Who are some of your sponsors that have made the QC Theater Workshop possible?
Well, we're very happy that we were able to get a grant from the QC Arts Dollars Grant organization. It was a huge help to this production. Being able to bring someone like Daniel or Aaron Hook to be able to pay them what they're worth, that was a huge help for our organization because we do run on a very limited budget. So we're extremely grateful to the QC Arts for that grant.
Well, Aaron Randolph and Dan Raridan Hale, thank you so much for talking today and best of luck with your upcoming performances.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Come see The Little Prince, one of the next 3 weekends at the QC Theater Workshop. Shows start this Friday and Saturday, April 26th and 27th at 7:30 p.m. Additional performances will be held throughout the weekends of May 3rd through 5th and May 10th through 12th. Reservations can be made online at qctheaterworkshop.org, where you can find a complete listing of performance dates and times. This has been Carolyn Martin, talking art in the Quad Cities for WVIK. Our theme music is provided by a Quad City legend, the late Ellis Kell.